Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I want you to grab your Bibles. I'm going to take you on a little journey inside of a Jewish home very quickly and teach you how to anchor your table at the Shabbat Shalom table. Shabbat is Sunday. It means rest. It's where we get our word Sabbath from. In Hebrew, Shalom means peace. But to a Jew, a peace means more than the lack of war. It means peace in your mind. It means peace in your home, peace in your finances. It means peace all over your life. How many of you would love to have peace in your house? Say amen. Well, Exodus 20, that peace starts on Sunday morning. Now, to a Jew, Sunday morning, what we call Sunday morning, the Sabbath, actually starts on Friday at sundown, and it ends after the appearance of three stars on Saturday afternoon at dusk. As soon as three stars are out, Sabbath is over. To a Christian, because Jesus Christ did not stop this procedure, he actually added to it, and Sunday now is the first day of the week. It is the day of the resurrection. Exodus chapter 20 says something to the Old Testament people, Hebrew people, and it goes for us too because Jesus built upon it. Remember to dedicate, and everybody underline the word remember. And when God tells you to remember something, I think it's pretty important that you remember it. Remember to dedicate. Remember to dedicate. Do not forget to dedicate. What? The Sabbath day. You're to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to your Lord God. You must not do any work, your sons, your daughters, your slaves, your livestock. And we won't get legalistic in Old Testament law, but Sunday is still a day to set it aside, make it holy, and place God first. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it in 6 days, and then he rested. So if God needed a day of rest to bring peace to the families of the world, and even within himself, showed as an example to stop, and keep our priorities straight, then how much more to us? And then he says, the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and he declared it. Underline the word declare. He declared it. He declared it to be holy. Now go to Isaiah 58 if you want to be blessed. If you don't go there. Isaiah 58, looking at verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13. It says something interesting. It says, if you, and I love the if yous in the Bible. The if you. How many of you want to be blessed and highly favored? Say amen. How many of you want peace on your finances? Say amen. How many of you want peace on your children, in your school systems with your children, on your teachers, the teachers that teach your children? How many of you want blessings and peace on your family? Well, for Christians and for Jews, it begins by honoring the Sabbath day because the Sabbath day is tied to your blessings and the blessings are tied to the Sabbath. And it says, if you keep from desecrating the Sabbath, from doing what you want on my personal pronoun, holy day. If you keep from doing what you want on those days and you begin to call the Sabbath a pleasure and the holy day, not just the day Sunday as a pleasure. We had pleasure playing golf after church. Nothing wrong with that. I get a big kick out of doing yard work. I like to do it. It is not work to me. It is pleasure. I do a lot of it on Sunday. My mom says you're not supposed to work on Sunday, and I think that one doesn't count because it's pleasure to me. However, it's for pleasure, but notice the conjunction and the holy day of the Lord is honorable. If you honor it by not going your own way and seeking your own pleasure or talking too much, then you will delight yourself in the Lord. And he says, I, God, will make you ride over the heights of the land and let you enjoy the heritage of your father Jacob. And God's mouth has spoken it. Somebody say amen. Now go on a little journey with me, and I'm going to go inside of a Jewish home real quick. I want you to understand that you've got to prepare your family like I do mine every week for Shabbat Shalom. One of the ways that they would do that is they would light candles. And actually in my house for a couple of times, we've actually lit candles on Saturday to tell everyone in the night house, Sunday's coming. It was a way that the Jewish people used candles to say the light of God is about to arrive. Sunday, anyone who says that you don't have to be a Christian and go to church on a Sunday is one of the worst theologians you've ever met in your life. Stay away from them as far as doctrine is concerned. Because the way that a Jewish family would have seen this table is they would have seen it as a preparation for heaven. How many of you want to go to heaven? Can I see a hand? Not today, but you want to go. Let me see heads. And so let me tell you what happened. What happened, ladies and gentlemen, is they begin to plan. So how do you plan your family every week? It starts on the first day of the week, and the first day of the week is not Monday. It is Sunday if you're a Christian. And so the first day of the week, you have a responsibility in your home to establish three things. And you do this by preparing for the Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom, Sunday table. Number one, you have to declare a time of rest. I pastor thousands of people, and I see a bunch of exhausted people every week of my life. I see people too busy, they have too many commands and demands on their life, and they wonder why they're always exhausted and tired. God has already made a way to answer your exhaustion. And I want you to know that this isn't easy for me, but I have really had to have some come to Jesus moments in my own life because I admit I'm a workaholic. And I've had to stop and slow down. My greatest fear is someone's going to call me lazy. Anybody knows me knows that's not the truth. But I've had to learn that even as a pastor, I have to stop because there's always someone sick, always someone that needs me to keep their lights on, always someone that's mad, always someone that's happy, always something to do. And that's the way life is. But God, who's in control of the whole universe, said, I worked 6 days and then I stopped. I stopped. And I understand that hospitals have to work on Sundays, and I'm not telling you not to work on Sunday, but what I am telling you is that Sunday is not your day. It is God's day. But the Sabbath was created for you, not you for the Sabbath. And so honoring the Sabbath, if you want to understand true Judaism and how Christianity built upon this principle, you have to understand the only way to build effective families is to begin to reestablish the beachhead and anchor our table on Sunday morning and to rebuild what it means to honor the Sabbath day. And this is Jewish law, and this is the Old Testament, and this is actually the New Testament. It got so bad in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed that the Jewish rabbis and the Mishnah and the Talmud were commentaries of the Old Testament said that every home now is going to be the temple because our temple was destroyed, but they still had synagogues and they still attended synagogue. Every family is going to be a sanctuary and every table is going to become an altar. So Jewish people said what we're going to do is we're going to take religion to the house. And we're going to take this table and we're going to make it an altar. We'll make an altar out of the family table. And they also said that every meal was going to be an offering and every Jew was going to be a priest. And so they said there's three things we got to do at the beginning of the week. If we're going to lead our house in the fear and the admonition of God, we're going to have to do three things. Number one, provide rest. Number two, we're going to have to provide an understanding of holiness. Something is different about this day. It's separated. It is not the time that you choose whether you're going to come to church based on whether it's raining or whether it's snowing. And you know what? I'm not talking about inclement weather or just how you feel that day. And number three, and this is where most Christians miss it, it's supposed to be a day of joy. Isaiah said it's supposed to be a day of pleasure. It's supposed to be enjoyable when you hang around the body of Christ. It's supposed to be enjoyable. How many of you have been to churches, don't point, don't say their name, but how many of you have been to a church that's more like a mausoleum than it is a house of God? There's no life in there. And so we got our work cut out for us. But you had to plan. And so what happened is you had to set a Shabbat Shalom table. And what it had a tzedakah box, which is the Hebrew word for justice. It had Shabbat Shalom candles. It had a water basin with 4.5 inches of water in it. It had wine. Jewish wine that had no more, according to Levitical law, than 3.3 ounces in this deal. It had salt. It had wine in the Kiddush cups and had bread. It had all these different symbolisms when they would sit down to eat. And I want to get into it. So the first thing is that a Jewish family, when they built a table, would say, the temple's destroyed. We'll go to synagogue, but the temple's destroyed. We got to move faith back to the home. And they did so by understanding Shabbat Shalom, that if I want my children to have peace, if I want my grandchildren to have peace, if I want my daughters and sons to have peace, if I want my marriage to have peace, if I want my finances at peace, if I want my world at peace, that I had to start by anchoring that week by honoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Now, the Bible says that they started Sabbath on Friday, which was evening. Why did Jewish people count Friday evening as a day and considered 3 days, very important for you for Easter, considered 3 days Friday at evening until Saturday at evening? The Bible says Jesus was in the tomb 3 days, and a lot of people try to get an aha moment on Christians by saying that's not 3 days. Well, it's not 3 days if you're Gregorian and Western and you count the Western calendar. But if you're Jewish, that's certainly 3 days, because the Bible verse in the book of Genesis chapter 1 says, and in the evening he created the fish and the amphibians, and then the morning came. The Bible says that Jesus in the evening created man, and then the morning came. The Bible says he created the stars and the world and the cosmos, and then the evening came. So to a Jew, the evening was the beginning of a day, not the end of the day. And you begin to find that you see something precious, because Jesus, or the Jews were actually taught that the Sabbath, Shabbat Shalom, was a time in which the Torah was presented. As a matter of fact, there's an Old Testament passage where God the Father looks up at the Jewish people and he says to them, I have something very precious for all of you people. And the Jews said, oh, Heavenly Father, what do you have for us that's so precious? And God looks back up and says, the Torah, the first 5 books of the Pentateuch, the Bible, the Word of God. And the reason that they understood the Sabbath as something precious based in the Word of God first and foremost was because the Sabbath was a sample of the world to come. How many of you are looking for a world where there is no more bullying? Can I see your hands? How many of you are looking for a world where there's no more dying and no more shame and no more regret and no more cancer and no more leukemia and no more broken backs and no more broken foots and no more lack in your finances? How many of you are looking for a day when the world has no violence in it whatsoever? How many of you are looking for a day when the holiness of God rules and reigns the earth and every planet in this galaxy and the billions of billions and billions of billions of galaxies that we don't even know about? How many of you are ready for the Lord to sit on the throne in Zion and cause peace to come to the earth? Somebody say amen and give God a hand clap. Please help me in this monitor. And so God says, thank you, buddies. God says to these people, I want you to understand when Sunday starts out, it's your way of understanding about the world to come. The one that's coming that we all wish would hurry up and get here. How many of you are ready for Jesus to come back? What's it going to be like? I'll take you to the Shabbat Shalom table and I'll show you. It's the one, it was a symbol of the world to come. This is interesting because they would all start out the dinner by Shabbat greetings. And if you were Yiddish, you would say, Gut Shabbos, which means have a good Sabbath. The traditional greeting was Shabbat Shalom, which means may your day and week begin with peace. It's interesting, the first thing that a Jewish family would grab was what's called a tzedakah box. When I hear about 9-year-old girls hanging themselves because of bullying, I come unglued. What kind of world are we living in when our children are cruel? Why do you think our children fight being cruel? It's not natural for a child to be, I mean, they pick on each other, but I mean, just that kind of cruelty is at a whole new level. What do you think it's different? You can't expect to give $50 a month to save the whales and then protest in our universities for abortion to be on demand and then wonder why a 9-year-old sees no value in life. I love animals. God says that animals, we should protect them, and when we have to kill them, there were Levitical laws to alleviate suffering amongst animals, and anyone who tortures an animal doesn't have any respect for a human being. And if you learn to treat animals with respect, then you can learn to love human beings. But we've got it just completely backwards. We want to give $23 a month for a sad-looking puppy. And then we hate each other because they're liberal and we're conservatives. Something screwed up about this world. The older I get, the more I understand my grandma. This world is not my home. Not. I tell my kids, if I ever catch you bullying, and if you see them bullying, you come and tell me. If I ever see you making fun of a handicapped child, if I ever see you doing anything like that, and pardon the Greek and the Hebrew word, there's going to be hell to pay in the night house. I have a job as a parent to teach my children justice. And the first thing a Hebrew home would do is they would look at their kids and say, your allowance, your money, how many presents are you going to buy at Covenant this year? And teach them and lead them to give to the poor. And teach them and lead them to understand that you got it made and you don't. Anybody in here had the revelation that I had when I went to college? I went to college in my freshman year. I could not wait to get out of that house. And I had a great home. But I was dumb and wanted my independence. As I got out of college and got my first home and had to rent it and pay rent and had to buy my own toilet paper and figured out that I need utensils. And I couldn't find for the life of me the scrubbing bubbles. I realized, boy, you've really screwed your life up right now. You had it made sitting out there on 100 acres with the jacuzzi in the bathroom and a three-wheeler and everything else in the world and all your clothes bought and all your food bought and everything you needed was right there for you, and now you're the dummy that's got to buy it all. That's what I learned when I moved from being a youth pastor in mega churches to the senior pastor. What do you mean, insurance? Something wrong when we raise kids that are ungrateful. Something's dangerous about raising kids that think they deserve everything on that table. Something's dangerous when we raise family that don't teach our children to humble themselves and be grateful. Only an ungrateful child bullies another child. Only a child that has no value in life presses on another child that is struggling for value in life. And Jewish people said, we're going to teach our children tzedakah. It's the Hebrew word for justice. Yeah, you got a PlayStation, you got a Wii, you got a swimming pool, you got bicycles, you got all this stuff, but have I got news for you? Nothing in life is free. And mommy and daddy are going to take care of you, but you will learn how to respect human life, and we're going to start at the dinner table. You see those 10 American Girl dolls that represents over 1,000 and something bucks? You're going to help buy one for a little girl that only dreams of getting one. And Jewish families took very seriously, they take very seriously teaching justice to their children. Are you behind me on this? It doesn't matter, it's the Word of God. But how many of you understand the importance of what I'm saying just in the introduction? Give God a hand clap of praise. They would teach justice, and what's so important about that is that they understood that a Jew had an obligation to right injustices. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm dreaming of a world where we raise children and families in this church to when our children see another kid being bullied, they stand up and confront them and go get help with another teacher. That's not called a tattletale. That's called a kid with character. Well, in Judaism, women were extremely important because a woman was considered to be the foundation of the home because she set that foundation, and she was the one that was considered to keep peace in the home, and she was considered the one that kept the harmony in the home. God, having known the story of Adam and Eve very well, said, I want to reestablish the importance of women in the Jewish home. And he says, I want the woman to be the one who is the queen, who welcomes the queen, because they called the Sabbath day and the Sabbath table the table of the queen. The finest of china, the sterling silver, to show not how much money we have, but how much of abundance God has blessed us. And the woman would take a prayer shawl. And let me explain this to you if you don't understand these things. A prayer shawl has what's on the end called a tzitzit. It has five strings representing the books of the Torah. There are five knots representing the five books of the Torah. A rabbi would sit and take his hand, his finger, and wrap the tzitzit around his finger and rock back and forth. You'll see it on TV a lot. When the woman with the issue of blood came up to Jesus, it says she touched the hems of his garment. And that's what she touched, the tzitzit. The reason we know that she did that is Jewish women were trained in the Torah just as well as Jewish men. And she knew Micah very well. It says, when you see the Son of Righteousness arising, there will be healing in his wings. So this woman takes and she covers her head. Why does she cover her head? Not because a woman is lesser than a man, but because she covered her head because she's in the place of a bride. And this is a veil. And she would have her family assembled around the table, and then she would take fire and she would strike the match, and she would light two Shabbat Shalom candles that are white, representing the purity and the goal of her home was holiness. And she would take and light the candles, and then she would take the smoke and close her eyes and wave three times so that the smoke would come into her eyes, so that her eyes would remember what day it is. It is the Sabbath. It is not the day to run around until after we go to the house of God. It is not the day to decide what we're going to do if we're Christian. If you're not Christian, don't worry about any of it. But if you're Christian, we got to fight for families. That's my sermon next week, but someone say amen. And so she would light the Shabbat Shalom candles, and she would say and remind two words. She would say, remember, which is the Hebrew word zohar, which means to remember to observe this day. And then the Bible says, keep this day holy, shomor, which means it's to be sanctified. And she would light these two candles, and she would have to light them 18 minutes before Sabbath arrived on Friday evening, because you were not allowed to light candles on the Sabbath day. And the reason she lit candles at her home was to let everyone in the house know, we're different. We're peculiar. We're called out from amongst them. You can go to the state fair on Sunday morning. I'm not saying if you went to the state fair one day out of 52, you're going to hell. I'm not saying any of that. But that's not our problem now, is it? Our problem is everything comes before the Sabbath. Our families are exhausted. They're exhausted because they spend more time and dedication to the soccer league or to the baseball diamond or to the TV or to the Wii than they do the house of God. And then we wonder why we're so screwed up as families. We got to reestablish the importance of God's law, that we are called out from amongst them to be ye a separate people. Part of separation is understanding that Sunday is a holy day and that we worship a holy God. I don't come to church because I have to. I don't come to church because I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. I don't come to church to sell a car. I don't come to church because I haven't got anything else to do. I walk into the house of God because there was a day in my life that I was undone and lost in sin, and God came and He took me in. He saved me. He washed me. He cleaned me. He lifted me up out of a miry clay. I was on my way to hell. I didn't know God. I had no peace. I had no money. I had nothing. And I, blessed be the Lamb of God, when He saved me, He set my feet on top of a hill.
Had it not been for the goodness of God. You want to know why these lips eat all off of silver? You want to know why this man sits at a table that looks like it's the splendor of a queen? Because God the Father sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, and have life and life more abundantly. And I refuse to be ungrateful about it. Your gratitude starts at sundown. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody give him praise in here. Somebody lift your hands. Somebody tell him how good he's been to you. Shabbat shalom. Peace. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. I know I'm not sorry. This particular holy moment, after the tzedakah and justice and the understanding that we are called as the people of God to right wrongs, especially amongst the poor and those dying of AIDS and those immigrants in Iran. And I'm not just saying, it's the truth. We have to right, and children that are being bullied. We take those candles, white representing purity, fire representing God, one of the elements of the earth, the place of peace. The bride comes. Remember when I told you about Shabbat Shalom? It was a symbol of the world to come. And I could talk about this from Christian perspectives for hours. But there's a bride waiting on the groom who's walking through the candlesticks. And we're praying for Tikkun Olam, repair the broken world. And we make a place at the table for him. And then he'll make a place at the table for you. They'd say these blessings, and then they would turn and they would go to what's called Kiddush. It means sanctification. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be a prune, and I'm not a prude. And I don't apologize for being old-fashioned in some ways and new and progressive in others. But this little cup on the Shabbat Shalom table was to remind our families that we don't live like everybody else. Kiddush, Hebrew for sanctification, set apart. I don't care how old-fashioned it sounds anymore. There is a right and there is a wrong. Not everything is permissible. Don't you believe postmodernism pablum that says what's right for you may not be right for me. That's right, sweetheart. One smart person in the room. Good job, Mama and Daddy. Isn't it amazing that a child can understand that, but adults are sitting there in their sins trying to figure out how to soften the blow of their anti-holy behavior? A child knows if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. But God says there's a place to teach our families about being separate and sanctified, holy, which pleases God. It's hard to teach kids that. Lily wanted to go see a certain movie. And God, I tremble after that, these things. I do, I tremble after these things. And I looked at it and I went to folks on the family about it. And I realized that it was a very bad movie. And I said, honey, we're not going to go see that one. I don't think the Lord would be pleased if we saw that movie. Death
sweetheart, is not a friend if you're saved. There's to be a sanctification. That sanctification starts on Sunday when you move everything else out of the way to take the cup. The word kiddush there is a beautiful analogy. It comes in Exodus 20 and talks about remember. And it was filled with wine, 3.3 ounces. And they would, everyone at the table, including children, would drink it. Because wine is a symbol of life and joy. And they would remind their families at the table that serving God comes with a price at times. We don't go see every movie. We don't condemn people who do. We love people, but we're different. Our cups are full of joy. And that I don't have to participate in everything in the world to have joy. Our table's covered with silver. Our home is prosperous. But that's not where our joy came from. Our joy came from 2,000 years ago when Jesus spilled his blood. And he took a Passover chalice like this one in the Kiddush ceremony of the cedar, the Passover meal, and said, "This is my blood. By my stripes you've been healed." Peter said, "When you really sell out to God, this cup, even though it contains sacrifice, is..." It's so full of joy that it's unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. How much holiness are you teaching your children? Holiness isn't about a movie. It's about the kind of movie you go and see. How holy is your table? How separated is your table? How sanctified is your table? Let me tell you something, and listen to me. If I don't get anything else out, I want to say this very simple thing. 37 years of doing this, people have one thing they want. That is to be happy. Let me tell you how to be happy. Are you ready? Live right. Yes. Yes. Most of the psychological ills you're struggling with is because of depravity. You'd be amazed at how staying sober brings joy. You're going to be amazed at how not participating in sin brings peace. If you want to be happy, clean up. Now watch this. There's now no talking. And 4.5 ounces of water is placed in a bowl and placed upon the Shabbat Shalom table. You take your right hand, you put it in there, and you pour 3 things of water over it. You take your left hand and you sprinkle water over it 3 times. Then you wash your hands, and you're not allowed to speak from the lighting of the candle to the washing of the hands. Now, why would they do that? Number one, the Bible says that how does a young man cleanse his ways? Through the washing of the Word of God. Number two, washing is a symbol of purity. And so they would try to want to keep their hands clean, and they would wash their hands, but they washed their hands because they knew they were getting ready to pick up the challah. What is a challah? Now, I wish I had time to talk about the Christian imagery, but I don't. But I do want to point out something. You notice what color the cloth is.
and how the cloth is covering the body of the bread, and that the bread of life has been covered like a tomb. And it would, and if you read this, it'll spell C-H-A-L-L-A-H, but it's actually in Hebrew, challah. And the head of the house would take the challah bread. And this is interesting. Remember, this is what the world is like to come. Oh, here it is. There was a knife at the table. Death. Violence. And at the table, violence is hid. Because when God comes back, there will be no more violence. Somebody say a happy amen. But then the head of the house would take the challah bread and he would lay it down and he would uncover it. They said Jesus died on a cross, and they took a white linen, laid it over his body, and they put spices, I'll get to that in a minute, over his body. But the head of the house takes the knife. It's the only time you see violence at a Hebrew family, and he makes one slit and then quickly makes sure that the knife is not appearing, because there will be no more violence in the kingdom of God. That makes me want to do a Pentecostal jig right there. The Bible says that if you're going to live and have sustenance in the house of God, you must eat the word of God. It is a seed and it is food. But God said to Jesus, the bread of life, he may bruise your heel. Glory, hallelujah, but you are going to crush his head. The only way that happened is when the bread had been broken and torn apart for your iniquities. And the chastisement of my sin went against his back. And the Hebrew father takes the bread and he dips it into salt. And says, Aiden, taste. Jenny, Ella, Lily. And they taste bread dipped in salt. Because you wouldn't have a doggone thing at this table had it not been for the sacrifice of the King of Kings. They break the bread. There's many allegorical things and imageries about Jesus there that I don't have time to get into. But it was a fascinating deal, because what they would do is they would build this table and they teach their children and families about sanctification and about honoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, and about Jesus being the bread of life and how he alone gives us substance. Let me tell you the greatest gift you can give your kids this Christmas. The gift of gratitude. I got one kid that wants this, and another kid that wants that, and another kid that wants this. You ever get to the place in your parenting where you look at your kids for Christmas and say, Mommy and Daddy would like to have that too? Two loaves of bread, because it represented the Ten Commandments, and they prayed a prayer on it after it was slit one time. And then something interesting happened. People ask me, and I'm going to close. People ask me all the time. Go ahead, Lisa. Where's Grace? There is no grace in a Jewish home. Only gratitude. And when you drink wine in a Jewish home, it is required by Levitical law to fill it to the brim. Two loaves of bread represented the double portion that God fed Israel with when they couldn't feed themselves. And a glass of wine at the end of the dinner is held up, filled to the brim. And they drink from a cup that's overflowing. how blessed I am. Thank you, God. You want to know why I honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Because I'm grateful. You think I'm here because I'm the preacher. I'm not here because I'm the preacher. I'm here because I'm grateful. And I want to protect my home, and I want to help you protect yours. Observe what day it is. Relieve suffering. Sanctify yourself. Break bread amongst your family. Dip it in salt and realize where your blessings came from. Had it not been for God, you wouldn't have a daggum thing. And then they say the grace at the end of the meal. And one of the ways, they have two, three ways they do it, but I'm going to just show you one. At the end of the meal, after they prayed a blessing over each one of these things I've showed you today, the dad says, Aiden, smell. Ella, take a whiff. Lily, breathe in. Jenny, smell the fragrance. And there is a cup with bay leaves and cinnamon. The reason that there is the gift of smell at the table of a Judahite is because Adam and Eve used only four senses to be deceived. They heard, they ate, they took, but they did not smell. And so Jewish rabbis say, we will take the sense that they did not use out of the five senses. Some of you have been so far from God and your families are so dysfunctional and tired and weary. It's been so long since you've smelled rest and smelled prosperity and smelled unity. The Jewish father says, it's a different day. Now, have you ever experienced what I experienced growing up as a child? Baling hay at grandma's, uncles in the field, cousins in the field, getting the hay in. And then the lunch bell came, and we sat at an old farm table that smelled like manure with wonderful homemade mashed potatoes. Lunch didn't smell like Christmas. And God says, use your senses to enlighten your gratitude. Lose your senses to let everybody in the table know this is not an ordinary day. This is a day of pleasure. Can you imagine the possibilities if we spent a year getting you back around your table with your family and put the head of the house with the father teaching spiritual lessons and moms doing the same and using the table as a place of fellowship and a place of discipleship and a place of community and a place of intellect and a place of education? Can you imagine if we lit the menorah on the Shabbat Shalom table next Sunday? And we will. And we learned how to fight for our families. Can you imagine the difference we'll make in Western Kentucky? And right before they smelled the cinnamon, they said, if you are a man, stand up. If you're a male, stand up. Would you lift your hands? I bless you with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. And the reason I do so is because Jacob blessed his children and said, all of the world will be blessed through you. If you're a female, will you stand up? Men, continue to stand.
I bless you with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. As the head of this house, they bless their children, and then they finish that prayer by praying, may Adonai bless you this day and care for you. May the light of Adonai's countenance shine upon you and be gracious unto you this week. May Adonai's countenance be lifted up, and may the peace of God follow you all week long and honor your commitment to keep the Sabbath holy. May the blessings of the Lord overcome you. May the blessings of God overtake you. And may your home be full of peace. Let it be true. And let every saint say amen. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And the church of God said amen. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. I'll see you Wednesday night. Go build a table.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.